As I was preparing last week's message, the Ruach dropped a word, just a single word, into my spirit. And the word was consistency. And I didn't know why at the time. I thought maybe it was just for me. Maybe it was a word, because sometimes word, you know, you get an individual word and sometimes it's for the congregation. I thought maybe it was just for me because I started going to a gym, which I haven't exercised in years. So maybe it was for me. Maybe it was my own reading and study time he was talking to me about. But as I prayed about it, I found that it really was a message for the congregation and for me as a member of the congregation as well. And I know that we all struggle at times with consistency. We do really well with something for a little while, and then it starts falling off. Maybe life gets in the way. We slow down. We stop what we wanted to do. But Scripture encourages us to be consistent in what we do, if it's the right thing you're doing. Consistency isn't just about doing the same thing repeatedly, though. It's about remaining steadfast in our beliefs and our commitments, even when faced with challenges. Consistency comes with setting goals and then going hard after them. We're told this in Philippians 3, starting in verse 12. Where am I? You got me? Okay, thank you. So Philippians 3:12, I got it from here? Oh, then I'm going to turn off my thing and you're going to take care of it. Thank you. I don't know what happened there. So Philippians 3:12 tells us this about setting goals. Not that I have already obtained this or been perfected, but I press on if only I might take hold of that for which Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this. But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining forward towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God in Messiah Yeshua. We are to set a goal, then press on to obtain it. This consistency of pressing forward to the goal can seem like a really big thing at times, and sometimes too big. But if we do it step by step, we can get to our goal. No one expects us to obtain the goal all at once. But each day, if we're consistent, we get closer and closer to succeeding in that goal. So why aren't we more consistent? We get distracted. We get tired, discouraged, because we don't see the results we want quickly enough. Perhaps we even get burnt out when we keep on pushing. And we just stop. And that sometimes seems like the right thing to do, but it's not always the right answer. The push towards the goal seems to turn against us. And it feels like it's pushing us away from the desire to continue. Sometimes it's even the people around us that get in the way of our consistency. The best examples that we have of being consistent are Adonai as the Father, Yeshua and the Ruach. They are one and they are consistent. He set the goal of an eternal relationship with his creation, and all of Scripture is about getting to that goal. As we read and study Scripture, some may have questions about it in their minds, but let me say that he is consistent above all. And if he were not, then we couldn't be assured of his goodness or love for our salvation. Scripture tells us who he is and what it is that he means by his character. I believe that most of us know the words from Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we say, amen and amen. Many times we hear the verse quoted as, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Yeshua is Adonai, meaning just one of the facets of God that we're able to know. And his nature, plans, and purposes do not change for either the whole earth or for us individually. Because he never changes, we have been given a consistent plan of salvation that we see throughout the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, the Old and the New Covenants. The power of the blood that was, is, and always will be the only way to atonement for the paying the price of our sin. It's the only way that we'll be able to stand before him for all eternity. The writer of Hebrews knew this because he knew the words of Numbers 23. And this is actually part of the Torah portion today, Balak. So Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man who lies, or the son of man who changes his mind. Does he speak and then not do it, or promise and not fulfill it? The answer to that question of the first sentence is the second sentence. The answer to the question of the second is answered by the first sentence. He is not a man who lies or changes his mind. We read this and we see it, and it tells us about who Adonai is. But it tells us more about just who we are as well. It tells us who we are by comparing him to us. If left unchecked, men are inconsistent and will want to wander this way and that. One moment we think this, the next we swerve to the left and think something else. We want to walk this path, but find ourselves on another. Men say, it looks nice over there. I just wanted to take a closer look, so my path changed a little. Adonai knows each path, and he stays his course. Regardless what happens around him, he is steadfast in his ways, as we're told in James. James 1, 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. By his will he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. There is no variation or shifting shadows with him. His thinking doesn't change because of the actions of things that are going on around them. And it's because of his unchanging nature that we're able to survive in this world. If he were to change and decide to make a different plan, then what would happen? And we're told this in Malachi 3, just a short verse, Malachi 3, 6. For I am Adonai, I do not change. So you, children of Jacob, are not consumed. Because he doesn't change who he is, because he's consistent with his plan for our relationship with him, we are not consumed. It's because of his consistent love that we can trust him and that we can stand before him and we can know that there will always be a remnant of his people. That he will not just wipe out the world and start over. When the people came out of Egypt and rebelled against him in Genesis 32, he told Moses, stand aside, I'm going to kill everybody off and start over with you. Moses reminds Adonai of his great love, Adonai's great love, and his covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. It may seem that it's because of Moses' actions that Adonai doesn't wipe everybody out. But it was the covenant and his consistency to following that covenant that saved everybody. And this is why it says this in Psalm 89 and why Psalm 89 is true. 89:31. If his sons forsake my Torah and do not walk in my judgments, they will violate my decrees. If they violate my decrees and do not keep my mitzvot, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with flogging. But I will not withhold my loving kindness from him, nor will I betray my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant, nor alter what my lips have uttered. For the people of Israel, for Adonai's people, there are consequences for actions. But for the nation, there is a covenant that will never be broken, which is the consistency of Adonai. We have to remember that this does not protect each of us if we decide to walk outside of his instructions. We see this warning a few times, but let's look at just two today. These two are passages that are not speaking to those who are not believers. So in other words, these people call themselves believers, but show an inconsistency in their walk. First is from James, telling us not to be inconsistent with faith. James 1, starting in 6. But let him who asks in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. The double-minded person is unstable. They are the inconsistent person who professes but doesn't always walk his life in faith. His thoughts move from one side to another, from doing the instructions of Adonai to not doing them. And this is the situation that I saw in the congregation of Laodicea in Revelation. Now, I'm not picking on the congregation. I know I used them last week too. I'm not picking on them, but they had a couple of problems. And here's the other one. Revelation 3, starting in 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Oh, that you would either be hot or cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. Vomit you out of my mouth, he says. How do you get lukewarm water? By mixing the hot and cold at the same time. In life, it means being inconsistent. We know that the consequences of non-belief is separation from Adonai in hell for eternity. But he wants us to know that being inconsistent is as good as being an unbeliever. We are not able to worship two masters at the same time, or really within a lifetime. If we are not consistent in our walk, we will be lukewarm and vomited out of our mouth. Now, I'm not saying that in our lifetime we can only be good or we can only be bad. But once you've been walking off the path and he gets you back onto that path, That's the path you need to walk. The only path you need to walk. This is why as believers, we're called to be consistent in our walk. And we have six ways to be or to show consistency in our lives today. Now, they're not the only ways that I'm not saying they're the only ways, but there's a start to consistency in our lives. And the first is with attendance and gathering together on Shabbat. It's more than the singing worship songs or speaking out loud the liturgy. And of course, you shouldn't just be singing or talking, making noise for liturgy. It's got to come from the heart. It's got to come from the heart. But we are called to assemble together. There are reasons I'm going to get to in a moment. But for now, it's just because he's told us to. And it's not just so that we're in the same place at the same time, but also that we're able to do for each other, which, as I said, I'll get into for in a moment. But for now, listen to what we're told in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 24, starting there. And let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds, not abandoning our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Don't abandon the assembling together as the habit of some. Those who come just when it's convenient, or when they feel like it, or I would even say when they feel like they have enough energy to, I think are shorting themselves of a blessing and a power of Adonai by being inconsistent. And I'm not speaking of those who are not in the area of the congregation and that it would be a hardship to get here, or even those who are watching on the live stream where it's an impossibility. I hope that you're not coming because it's just an impossibility. But I think that if you can make it sometime, there should be a way to do it on a consistent basis. There will always be reasons not to come. But as for those who do, we need a consistent goal of coming more often than not. Much more often than not. We need to be here on a consistent basis. And you need to do it for yourself as well as for those who will be here with you. If you think that attending the service is a special time, so you make an effort to do it once a week or twice a week if you come for prayer, which is a really good thing to do, then reading and studying and praying could be even easier to let slip and slide. Yeah. We can have the scriptures out on the table next to the bed or the chair, gathering dust because we're too tired during the week. But we need to push through those things. Joel wrote this in Romans 12, Romans 12, verse 11, starting there. Do not be lagging in zeal, be fervent in spirit. Keep serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, enduring in distress, persisting in prayer. Tiredness of the day and week can weaken our consistency. Therefore, we need to stir up the spirit to be zealous. The feeling of wanting to be sedimentary, even mentally sedimentary, can easily overtake all of us. And I know that because maybe even more than anybody else. But we have to endure, even then, to press towards the goal of being purposely mindful of the need to read, study, and pray. This goes for both in the corporate setting as well as at home in private times. And I know that some of you, especially you moms, are saying, private times? What are those? We have to make those times to be with the Lord. As much as we should be living the scriptures out each day, we need to also take intentional time to read and study and pray, so that the words found in Joshua can be true for us as well. Joshua 1:8. This book of the Torah should not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will be successful. These words of Adonai were spoken to and through Joshua just before going into battle. Life is a battle that we're going through, so we must not allow the Torah to depart from our meditations. We have to give time to study, because if we are to depend on the old reading that you once did a while ago, you'll be missing out on the new manna that he has for you from the Word. We are to be consistent in our time with Adonai in the corporate setting, at the congregation, and also in our private settings at home. And going back to the congregational setting, the next thing to be consistent in is your service, participation, and giving at the congregation. And this could be a tithing message, but I'm talking about so much more. We as believers are called not to just come to a congregation, but to consistently be part of the congregation. So when I say service, participation, and giving, I mean more than just tithes that we're called to give, but the time and talents that you have, so that others of the congregation can be richly rewarded by your presence. Look at Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. I know this seems to be another verse about attendance, but it's more than just attendance. It's about being involved at the congregational level. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people say that once they committed, once they stepped up and started doing things at the congregation, the blessings that were there for them, that Adonai impressed upon them because they committed. The consistency of giving to the others in the congregation is a big reason for the success of the person and the assembly. Now, I'm not speaking of giving of things, but giving of self. Your sharing and caring are the only reasons that the congregation feels like the family of God. You cannot receive from the congregation by running in at the start of service and running out at the end of service. Nor can you get it if you are not here. You have to allow others to consistently give to you. And you have to give to others what you have. Each of us has something to give, even when we think that we don't. Peter tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 4. In fact, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep your love for one another constant. For love covers a multitude of sin. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the many-sided grace of God. There are always going to be some who say that they don't have a gift to share with the congregation. But they're wrong. I'm going to tell you flat out, they're wrong. Verse 10 doesn't say, if you have a gift to share. But as each one has already received the gift. That means that you have a gift, even if you don't know it. You're called to constantly share it with the congregation. There are some who want to hide and not interact with other people. But I know that is not what Adonai wants for anyone. I believe that with practice, you can share with others. You can encourage others. You can contribute to others. You can love on others. And the reward you receive is not just the love from the people of the congregation, but of Adonai in even a greater measure. This is why 1 Corinthians 15 ends this way. The chapter ends 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We are to always be steadfast or consistent and immovable. Then it says, excelling in the work. But don't be fooled by the word excelling. Excelling doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. The Greek word there has nothing to do with the quality of your work, but the quantity of your work. You are not being told to be excellent, but to never stop, to be consistent in love, loving those around you, and in doing for Adonai. When we do for Adonai, we are not called to be perfect, but to do, and then He will make it perfect. We just need to consistently allow ourselves to be used by Him. This is why it says this in Ephesians 4:16. From Him, the whole body is fitted and held together by every supporting ligament. The proper working of each individual part produces the body's growth for building itself up in love. Even if you think of yourself as the smallest of ligaments, you are a part that helps produce the congregation's growth in love. No one should think of themselves as the smallest part of the congregation, but instead as the required part of the congregation to grow and thrive. Both you yourself and the congregation, you are required to grow, for us to grow. This is why we are able to be consistently loving and in unity. That means taking every opportunity that we find to love on each other and to pray for each other. This is the instructions that we're told in Galatians 6:10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good towards all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. I find that there are times that Satan tries to drag us away from the congregation by driving a wedge between people. We are not to lose heart when this happens, but instead be intentionally consistent in giving love and support. Satan says, look what they did, or look what they said, trying to drive you out, but you don't know what that person's going through. Or maybe you just misunderstood what they said. Even towards those who you think are stressing you, offer out a hand and encourage them. By showing love, you're also showing unity. Let me show you a verse from John that gives us the instruction to consistently love. John 13:34 says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, so also you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Is this really a new instruction to love one another? Let me give you an example to show this, show how it's not really new, but possibly the first time that they've heard it this way. Now, if we're painting together, I don't know why I said paint. If we're painting together and I say, let me show you a new way of dipping your brush. Is it really a new way, or is it just the way they've not seen it before? It's not that they've not done it. It's that they've not done it before that way. So the instruction to consistently love is not a new instruction, but a way of stating it that they've not heard or considered before. We've heard it, and I hope we're consistently performing acts of love to those here in the congregation as well as others. Now the next is to support leadership and others in the congregation. And to restate this in one word, that would be humility. To be consistently humble, or placing others first, is not placing them in a better place than yourself, but to help others to obtain a better level for them as well as for yourself. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. I love when numbers are right after each other. 2, 3, 4. Do nothing out of selfishness nor conceit, but with humility consider others as more important than yourself, looking out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. If the flesh is not trained and kept restrained, it will strive for selfishness and conceit. Therefore, we're told to withhold the desires of the flesh and to constantly strive to help others. This is not saying to place yourself in a lower position around them, but to consider them as in a higher place. Now, if I'm speaking to a child and I speak to them as an adult, I'm not making them an adult and I'm not making me a child, but I am raising them up from being a child. It's giving them the consideration and the interest that I would as an adult. We're also to consider the way that we support those in leadership. We all have someone in leadership over us, rabbis included. If not, then we would be considered as uncovered, and we'd be in danger of running wild with no one to rein us in. This is why Hebrews 13 applies to anyone and everyone. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be unprofitable to you. It's not even speaking of the leaders, it's speaking to you. Consistently obeying leadership is not a place of being subservient, but a place where Adonai is able to work within you and even through you. It indicates a soft heart that's usable for Adonai and usable by the leadership. For the final point, we're to be consistent in our efforts to outreach, to share the good news of who Adonai is and that Messiah Yeshua died to pay for our sins. If the goal of Scripture from Adonai's point of view is to get us into right relationship with him, then we should agree and want to do everything we can to support it and to have others in right relationship with him. His desire is to see none lost, so our desire should be the same. There are a minimum of two things to keep in mind about outreach. The first is from Acts 1:7, starting there. He said to them, "And it's not your place to know the time or seasons which the Father has placed under his own control. But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and through all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We don't need to know the time of his return, but we do need to know the way that we're to go out into outreach. And it's by the Ruach HaKodesh. We do not depend on our own efforts or voice, but by consistently relying on him, we will be aligned with his desires for us. Now, the second thing is found in Galatians 6:10. "So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap and don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good towards all, especially those who belong to the household of faith." Boy, that sounds familiar. Did I read that? I don't know. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. And don't worry about how many you win over. We only have to think about consistently seeking the opportunities and seeing the opportunities that he places before us and then taking full advantage of them. He takes the pressure off of us to succeed and allows us to do our best, and then he does the rest. Our lives must be one of consistency. We must be consistent in walking in love. We can't show love to one person and bitterness and hate to another. We can't tithe and give fully in one season of our lives and fail to give in another. We can't study and declare the word of God for a couple of months and then stop speaking God's word and begin speaking negatively instead. If we do these things, we will not see success as God desires us to see it. And I think success is actually the measure of, will we be with him for eternity? The key to our lives should be consistency in doing good and doing what is right. So these six things that we have to be consistent on, not just to create success for your life, but also for the congregation here, or the congregation that you attend on a regular basis if you're watching on a live stream. So there are six things. We have to be consistent in our attendance. We have to be consistent in reading and studying and praying. We have to be consistent in our service, our participation, and our giving here at your congregation. We have to be loving and in unity consistently. We have to support leadership and the unity of others within the congregation. And we have to consistently outreach. Father, we thank you that you are our consistency. You never change. And if you had ever changed, how could we be sure of our salvation, our atonement? For one reason, for one time it would be the blood of Adonai. Who knows what the next would be if you changed, but you never change. So we thank you that you never change. And we pray, Ruach HaKodesh, help us to not change in our lives. Help us to be consistent in the goals that you've set for us and that we've adopted for ourselves. Ruach, let it be that you be the king and we be those who are about your business. Father, we just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen. So did you notice on the screen the word consistency? It's not very consistent. The Y is different. Just my own little sense of humor. Sorry.